time. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I love that song too, don't you? Amen. I don't know what you get thrilled about better than Jesus. Amen. Some people do now. Some people get more excited about a ball game than they do about the Lord. Some people get more excited about a presidential race than they do about the Lord. Or a car race. Right? A lot of things, a lot of things to get more excited about than the Lord, but we shouldn't. Amen. He is all in all. That's what he said. Amen. All in all to me. Amen. Is that, yep, all right. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to read these first three verses. We'll read them responsively. And so I'll read verse 1. You'll come in on me verse 2, and then I'll read verse 3. These are the verses that are on my heart for our message today. That I trust will be helpful to you. By the way, my plan is to have Brother Jamie Brunson preach tonight. And so I'm glad he's here with us. And I want to use him while he's here. And he told me not to, but I believe that's the right thing to do. And so I'm going to obey God rather than men. Amen. But pray for him tonight also. All right, look, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. You see, I can't do that. Well, he told you to. He never told you to do anything that he can't help you do. Right. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. That goes along with the song that Miss Helen and Miss Elizabeth sang about what we found in Jesus. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Brunson, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege.
Yes. Yes, yes, Lord.
I pray that you might help us now as we come to your eternal word and the portion that brother has determined to speak to us all. Give us understanding, open our hearts, so we might be ready receivers of the word of God, do the work in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Brunson, for that prayer. Amen. I want to preach from a familiar text here. The verse number 2 is really where my gist of my message is going to be, but I don't want to leave out that context because these three verses are one sentence. He starts off, well, I want to get to that about newborn babes. That's my title tonight or today, As Newborn Babes, is what I want to think about just a little bit. But before I get there, I've got to look at the rest of the sentence and how you get there. First of all, he talks about sin's got to be dealt with. Nobody gets born again unless sin's dealt with. Now, I know there's folks running around here and saying that that don't have to be. Matter of fact, one of the fellows at one of the meetings I was at called that the Stephen Slanderson crowd. And I think that's right. But I thought that's pretty good saying. But anyway, and it's not just them, by the way. There's some of these grace buddies that run around here saying sin don't have to be dealt with. But according to our King James Bible, nobody ever gets saved unless, first of all, they find themselves condemned. Amen. What is it that condemns us? It's sin. Jesus came to die for our sin. And he's going to deal with our sin. And so he says that these things have got to be put aside. And by the way, how do you put those things aside? You got to be washed. Amen. Washed in the precious blood of Jesus. But as a baby, babies don't have any guile or malice or hypocrisies or envies or evil speakings. Amen. He said we shouldn't have that. So he says in verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I'm going to dissect that verse and look at that. But let me give you some things by way of introduction. This was my thought. Almost nobody likes to be called a baby. If I said you're acting like a baby, that'd be offensive to most of us. Right. Now, most people don't mind mama calling them a baby. Right. Amen. They appreciate mama calling them a baby, maybe. Or maybe a wife might appreciate her husband calling her baby. But he quit that when they got married. But anyway, you know, she goes from being baby to being mama. Then to being nana or grandma, amen, or whatever. But my thing is, almost nobody likes to be called a baby. And by the way, I don't like it when people act like babies. But Peter said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we need to be more like babies. That's what he's saying in this text. Peter's commanding people, God commanding people through the pen of Peter, that we should be more like babies in this particular case. Now, 1 Peter is written to those that are scattered, they're strangers. You see, chapter 1, verse 1, Peter the apostle of Jesus, or an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So he's talking about saved people that he's writing to that are scattered, and I believe these are probably saved Jews that are scattered, and there may be some Gentiles mingled in with them that have been scattered because of the persecution in the early book of Acts, and that scattered them throughout these countries. And looks to me like Peter went through these countries preaching and had a heart and a burden for these people. And I don't have to say a whole lot about Peter not being in Rome. That is a Catholic myth, right? Made up to give them some kind of authority, they think. But anyway, that's a myth. But we see in our Bible, it tells us that Peter's concerned about these places in particular. And he's concerned about the persecution that these young Christians, these young believers are going to face or probably already have faced in some ways. And he's going to deal with tribulation, persecution, and problems throughout all of 1st and 2nd Peter. Primarily, he's going to deal with that as his main thing. But he's dealing with these young converts. And he's telling them, you need to be like a baby in this manner. You need to be like a baby that you're not satisfied with anything else but the pure, unadulterated milk of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Now, these converts that he's talking to here have been enlightened somewhat by the Spirit of God. They've come to some knowledge of the truth as it is in God's Word. But they couldn't just run down to the Bible bookstore and find the Bible. But you can't either, by the way. You'll find a bunch of perversions. But Bibles are more prominent, much more prominent today than they were then. Brother Matt was changing out his Bible that he used in Sunday school this morning and going back. And I said, did you find one? I think he said he had five back there in his cabinet. Well, Bibles are more prominent and prevalent today and more easily found. But in that day, they didn't all have a copy they could carry with them. Matter of fact, maybe none of them had a copy they could carry with them. And so Peter's trying to tell them, you may have to search for it, you may have to hunt for it, you may have to sacrifice for it, but get you a Bible and you get in that Bible and let the Bible get in you. Amen. And that's what he's going to deal with. By the way, sort of sad that familiarity has bred contempt among a lot of people. Our Bibles lay on the shelf and gather dust. Or our Bible's just a decoration rather than actually something that we apply in our life on a day-by-day basis. So he's trying to encourage them, and he's concerned that these people go on, that they proceed and go on. He wants them to increase more and more in the faith of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I had us sing those songs. Peter was concerned that these people, they've started out, they're babies, but he said, babies, just being born is not all they have. Babies have got to be nourished. Babies have got to grow. And so he's dealing with this fact of these young people, these young converts, I should say, in the Lord. He wanted them to continue to grow. Now, the means by which we receive all our growth and increase is the Word of God. That's the means. I love good singing, but you don't grow Christians by singing. I love good fellowship, but you don't grow Christians by good fellowship. Right? They got to get in the Word of God. We study the Word of God. That's one reason why we have Sunday school, by the way, is to study the Word of God together and learn together. We do that also in the 11 o'clock service, and we do that in the night service and in the midweek service. But Peter was concerned that they would grow. So Peter uses a figurative word here, figurative language, expressing the need for them to thirst after and long for the Word of God. By the way, it's food for the soul. Amen. And he wanted these like little infants, newborn babes come out rooting. Right? I mean, they're wanting something to drink. They're reaching for something to drink. They're reaching for something to nourish them and to sustain them. That newborn baby cries for its mother's milk. It don't matter what hour of the night. It doesn't matter what else you're doing. It doesn't matter anything about anything. That baby's hungry. It wants something to drink. It wants milk. He said that's the way it ought to be with our desire for the things of God. Amen. Now, this illustration, I'm just in introduction, the illustration of newborn babies is applicable because the Bible talks about two births. A natural, physical, first birth, fleshly birth, right? Then a second, spiritual, supernatural birth. Amen. Being born again. And he uses that, I believe, referring to these newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. Depending on that for their entire life and growth. Now, Peter's already talked about something about that second birth. Chapter 1, verse 3, look there, just if it's on the same page in my Bible or across the page over there. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here's the phrase I want you to underline and see. He hath begotten us again. By lively hope. We've been born again. That's the idea. Amen. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. He says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Amen. Born again. That's what he says there in the first part of that. By the word of God. Now, having laid the groundwork surrounding this text and looking at those things there, let me just break it in its parts. There's five parts, and I'm going to try my best to deal with all five of these if I can this morning. First of all, we see the preparation, and that is the fact that we've started out in this new life. It's going to take, it's going to only be bettered and increased by our approaching it as newborn babes. The second, we not only the preparation, but the affection. That's our duty, the desire. We must desire that milk of the Word. Amen. God's not going to guide us and lead us unless we desire for Him to do so. Thirdly, we'll see the direction of our desire. That's the milk of the Word. That's the direction. God's Word must be involved. God doesn't speak to us in dreams and visions in this day. He speaks to us through His Word. That which is perfect has come. The Bible's complete. Amen. We was talking in the men's prayer meeting yesterday morning that and somebody said this down at Faith Baptist Camp, back in the Old Testament and the early part of the New Testament, before the Bible was complete, God spoke to people in tongues. He spoke to people in dreams and visions. He spoke to people in voices from heaven. He spoke to people in angels. But all those things were ways God was communicating with man before His Word was complete. Now we've got His complete Word. This is how He speaks to people today. Amen. Not to say that He can't speak to you in your spirit. I know that, but it won't contradict this Word. It won't go contrary to this Word. Amen. So we're led by the Holy Spirit and His Word. The fourth thing we'll notice is the classification or the quality of the milk. It must be sincere. It's got to be the pure, undiluted, unadulterated milk of the Word. Amen. And then lastly, we want to look at the intention of this pursuit, and that is our desire for the Word. Why do we desire it? Is that we may grow thereby. Amen. That ye may grow thereby. Now, having said that, let's look at these one by one. First of all, the preparation entailed in this pursuit. He says, as newborn babes. A newborn babe is an infant. Brother Jacob didn't know I was going to be preaching on this yesterday. I grinned when he said it. I don't know if he recognized it, but he read to us or quoted to us Noah Webster's definition of infant. It's interesting. You ought to look it up sometime. I've got it here in front of me. And Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language defines infant. Now, he's got two definitions. First of all, the first one, a child in the first period of life, beginning at his birth, a young babe. In common usage, a child ceases to be called an infant within the first or second year, but at no definite period. In some cases, authors indulge a greater latitude and extend the term to include children of several years of age. is the word infant. Matter of fact, when the Lord asked that man, and I preached a few Sundays ago on Father's Day about that man in Matthew 17, his story's all so told in Mark 9 and Luke 9, Jesus asked him how long this child, his son, had this devil. He said, from a young child, you look it up, it's the word infant. From a little bitty baby, he'd been devil possessed in the case of this little child. Well, here's the second definition. This is the one to blow your mind away. Noah Webster, in law, here's what an infant is. A person under the age of 21 years who is incapable of making valid contracts. Now, I guess that's changed because we expect young men at 18 to register for the draft. And I don't think we'd be sending infants, although I know some young men over 21 still act like infants. Amen. But he's saying they're not able to make valid contracts. Here's my point in this. What he's mentioned here, the preparation of this pursuit, is the fact that we began as infants. We didn't jump in here with all understanding, knowing it all. Right? We have a phrase called teenagers. That wasn't even used some years ago. And then they come up with tweens, you know, those in the 20s. And they're extending infantilism farther and farther, it looks to me like, up into even the mature years of a person's life. But my point is this, we talk about teenagers think that they know it all already, and sometimes they do think that. But I don't care how much they think that, they don't do that. They don't know it all. And I'm not mocking and making fun of the teenager. I'm just saying, by the way, when you got saved, I don't care how old you was, you didn't know it all when you got saved. I'm glad salvation is not based on you knowing it all. Some people say, well, how can I be saved? I don't understand it all. Join the crowd. Nobody that ever got saved understood it all. More than likely, those of us that are saved still have things we question. Amen. Things that we think we understand that maybe we don't. Just be honest with you about that. Amen. But here's something we understand. We understand infants, little newborn babies are helpless and harmless. We got Liberty Rose over here. Miss Stephanie's holding her. She's helpless. If she were to lay her down right there and walk away, that child couldn't move from that spot unless somebody helped it. She's not able to crawl. I doubt she's able to roll. She's just an infant. Helpless and harmless, really, to be honest. She couldn't hurt you. Amen. And in need of assistance and direction. By the way, Jesus spoke approvingly of coming as a little child. He talked about the humility of a child, the trusting, the believing attribute of a child. Matthew 18, 3 and 4. Matthew 18, 3 and 4. The Bible said, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, apparently pulled one out of the crowd, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. My point for bringing this out here, and I believe it's the point of Peter referring to it in the scripture, is to show us that if we want to profit in the school of Christ, if we want to learn in the school of Christ, we have to approach it as an infant. We have to come as a blank slate, asking God to write on our heart every word. Amen. Asking God to shine His light that our feet might see the path to walk on. Asking God to help us in these matters. We must come as a little infant. Amen. If we want to receive light, if we want to receive comfort from the scripture, if we want to gain strength through the preaching of the word of God, then we must approach it as newborn babes. Amen. Peter tells us in this text, verse number 1, that to get to that newborn babe stage, you got to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings in order to receive the help you need. Now listen, he's not talking about getting saved. He's talking to young people that are already saved. I say young converts that are already saved. He's saying you're going to have to lay down some of these things if you're going to receive the word of God like you ought to. Amen. By the way, I'm convinced that a lot of people come to preaching with their own knowledge puffed up. And you're not going to tell them anything. They're not going to listen. Amen. They've already got their own opinions intact. And they're not going to learn. They've got their hypocrisies that they're trying to cover, either for themselves or for somebody else. Amen. Some loved one they're trying to cover for, maybe it is, but I'll just say it don't work. It don't work. You got to lay all that aside, and you got to listen with a teachable spirit. Amen. A teachable spirit. If you have the mentality, ain't nobody going to tell me nothing, you're right.
Amen.
Absolutely. You know why? Because you don't have a teachable spirit. Amen. Well, if you're going to learn the way of Christ, you got to lay aside all these filthy attitudes, all these fleshly attitudes. Amen. You're going to have to sanctify your heart. You're going to have to listen and learn if you're going to grow like you need to grow. Amen. You're going to have to apply yourself to it. That babe, listen, mom can have the milk. She can have the bottle prepared or whatever. If she's going to feed them that, however the case is, they can have all that prepared and ready. But the babe will not grow if it doesn't take it in. Amen. It's got to take it in. And without getting too graphic, in the natural, they got to latch on. I'm telling you, if you're going to get something from God, you're going to have to latch on. You just can't be dilly-dallying around. You're going to have to latch on to the Bible. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. Well, we've been told in the book of Proverbs that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. And so if you don't approach wisdom right, you ain't going to get it. That's what he's saying. Amen. So Peter's trying to tell us that we need to have a holy hunger for the things of God. The second thing, not only the preparation, but the affection entailed in this pursuit. As newborn babes desire. That word desire is a strong word. By the way, one of the negative, I talked about the positive characteristics of a child, their humility, their trustfulness. One of the negatives is their inability to make a decision, to be decisive, right? I remember when I was a boy growing up, Dad, we'd go to the store and Dad'd say, all right, boys, y'all can get a candy bar. You can get one candy bar. I'd go get mine. My brother would go and he'd pick up first one, then the other. Lay it down, pick up another. Here, there, and everywhere. I mean, after a while, Dad'd say, all right, the next one you touch has got to be yours. We're leaving. If you don't take one, we're going. And my brother would go, and he'd finally grab one. Right? And our family, our children, we had, Daniel was pretty much that way too, wasn't he? Daniel was a little bit more indecisive about what he wanted to latch on to. But my point is this, that is a negative aspect to a child, is that they're sort of indecisive. But can I tell you this thing about feeding them milk? That they ain't indecisive about that. No, I mean, you can have the best cooked steak you have, but they ain't interested in that. They want milk. They know what nurses them. They know what they have to have. Amen. And they don't want just anybody. They want mama. That's right. They want mama if at all possible. That's exactly what they want. I'm telling you, we got to be decisive on this thing. We got to be determined on this thing about getting after God. Amen. So Peter advises us to be like newborn babes, having a consistent desire and a continual desire for the milk for our nourishment. Again, when a baby's hungry, nothing else matters. No, you can rock it all you want to rock it. You can sing to it all you want to sing to it. Some of you singing just makes them worse. Anyway, I'm just picking. But seriously, you can do anything you want. You're not going to console that child without feeding it. That's how it ought to be with us. Ball game ain't going to satisfy us. Family reunion ain't going to satisfy us. Amen. Whatever people was, you know, stay out of church for, that when they could go, they don't go, whatever the reason. Listen, if you're going to grow for God, you're going to have to say, nothing's going to separate me from me and my Lord and me being fed from the Lord's table. But that's what we come here for, by the way. We come to be fed from the Lord's table. Amen. Amen. Jesus spoke about the hunger and thirst in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. That newborn babe strains and reaches for and wriggles around trying to find the bottle or the breast because it's hungry. It's like the little birds chirping loudly with their mouths open wide as they can be open wide, hoping mama drop that worm down their throat. They're hungry. That's how those babies are. It always, you know, you take an infant, I haven't seen these do it, but ours when they was little, and I've seen it with others, you take it when that baby starts getting hungry, and you just sort of rub around the seats, and you just start going, about like a bass. Amen. But no, seriously, they'll you know what? Their body is built for that. We ought to, Sunday starts rolling around, we ought to start going, I want something. Amen. Matter of fact, it ought not just be on Sunday. Amen. So I just say, back to this thing about coming to church. Do you come to church hungry? Do you come to church hungry for the word, or do you come filled up with everything else? Amen. Are we willing to stretch our heart and reach towards God and beg God for something to nourish our soul? Are we willing to do that? Or do we think we can just continue on without it? This desire is talking about the fact you got to have it. Amen. Got to. Amen. I think this point of reference, that we desire the milk of the word, but it also references the intensity. I've touched on that already. We need an earnest and fervent desire for the things of God. Even an importunate drive, like I told you, it don't matter what hour. You remember that man in Luke 11, Jesus told a parable about the man that went and beat on the door of his neighbor at midnight for bread. I'm telling you, we ought to be looking for the bread of heaven. We ought to be looking for the milk of the word. Sometimes at midnight, amen, we ought to be hungry for the things of God. I think that's right, amen. Well, the point here is that nothing else satisfies that newborn soul except the pure, unadulterated word of God. Amen. God wants us to have a proper desire. That desire will never be quenched until we receive that word of God. Amen. Another interesting point about this desire for the milk as newborn babes is that once that baby is filled and at peace, it won't be long till he's hungering again. Amen. Amen. I believe Peter wants us this hunger. He wants it to be presently, right now. We need it now. Then he wants it to be importunate. I got to have it now. I got to have it. And then he wants it to be continually. Maybe if I get it, I'll be back again because I want it again. Amen. There's the direction, number three. The direction entailed in the pursuit. The milk of the word. That's the direction we're headed. We're newborn babes. We got a desire. And our desire is aimed in one direction. The milk of the word. Now, the world is full of things to feed the flesh upon. Amen. But the spirit of a newborn soul feasts only on the Word of God. Hungers and is nourished by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter's referring to words he heard the Lord say. Matter of fact, in John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Amen. Jesus also referenced our desire for the Word of God and our need for the Word of God in his answer to Satan when Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. I tell you that in you, you have an ever-living soul that can only be satisfied by the everlasting word. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. The world and the flesh, they desire after wealth or honor or pomp. They desire after praise. They desire after pleasures. That's what the world desires after. Everything except the word of God. Yeah. Here's the illustration. We could put up a sign out at the road, free hot dogs, and they'd line the parking lot. We've seen them do it. We don't have a sign out there, but I think most of them know. Free Bible lessons? Not hungry for it. The world's after the things of the world. Amen. But he's telling us we need to hunger after the things of God. I got to thinking about that. The Bible's talking here about the Word and how precious it is. Peter is using it as milk. That's what that was one of the characteristics God used to brag on the land of Canaan. These children of Israel just freshly been released from bondage in Egypt, and they're going to have to trek across that long, hard desert. And Moses is saying to them under the inspiration of God, that land is flowing with milk and honey to make them desire after it, be willing to face the giants, be willing to walk through that desert, to be willing to trust God, to go after that milk of the Word. Our Bible is so important. I just wrote some of these things down. Our Bible is a lamp to our feet to direct us. It's medicine to heal us. It's a guide to conduct us. It's a bit to restrain us. It's a sword to defend us. It's water to wash us. It's a fire to inflame us. It's salt to season us. It's milk to nourish us. It's wine to rejoice us. It's rain to refresh us. It's a treasure to enrich us. And it's a key to unlock heaven for us. Amen. Amen. You remember David when he was fleeing and he's held up in that garrison of the Philistines? David longed for some water from the well of Bethlehem. You remember that story? Those men, three men broke through and got that water for him. That's how we ought to long for the Word of God. Amen. We may be held in this garrison of the Philistines. We may be held in this world of evil. We may be held in this body of flesh. But our soul ought to thirst after the things of God. Amen. So we've seen the preparation and the attention and the direction. Let me move to the classification of this pursuit, the quality. It's not just milk. Sincere milk. You know, and I didn't put it in my notes, but we've all heard it enough that we know what they say about that, that when they would make their pottery, sometimes the pottery would crack, maybe it'd get broken. They'd be very careful of this before they came up with super glue or Gorilla Glue. And they would take wax and fill in the gap and press that back together. But that wax wouldn't stand the heat, and that wax couldn't stand the pressure. And so they said it was, to be sincere meant without wax. It's whole. It's true. It's pure. It's what the idea that it's talking about there. Can I tell you that the church or the Christian can't feed on what the world feeds on? Right? You may feed on that, but it won't feed your soul. Your soul will swivel up and die. Amen. Your spirit won't be strengthened. Your spiritual man will shrivel up and die. If I could say it that way, when you try to feed on what the world feeds on. But we got to have the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. We know that this Word is sincere. It's pure. We know it because it nourishes our soul. Amen. We can argue about King James Bible all day long, but if you've ever tasted of it, you know what feeds your soul. If you've ever sat under anything else, you know what don't. That's right. Amen. Thank God we know what the sincere milk of the Word is. We've seen its effect and we've seen its operation. Amen. Amen. It was Bible preaching that got me under conviction. I'm glad I was raised in a godly home. I'm glad I had godly parents, godly grandparents. I'm glad I was in a good church, all those things. But I'm telling you, it was the preaching of the Word of God that convicted me of my sin and showed me my need of a Savior. And that's the only thing that'll work for people today. I want us to have a friendly church. I want us to be a welcoming church when people come. Amen. When strangers come in, I don't want us to look at them like there's something wrong with them. There may be something wrong with them, but the church ought to be a hospital where people can get things fixed. Amen. But it also may be there's something wrong with you too. Brother Matt said he'd probably quote that verse wrong, and he did. He had the mote in their eye, the beam in their eye and the mote in yours, but it's the other way around. That beam's in your eye. Bigger problem in your own eye. That's what he's saying. And I'm not mocking him. I'm just, that's how it is. And that's how it works in our life. We have the idea, well, you know, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But the truth is, we got to approach this thing like a baby is that God's right. He's the only one I can depend on. Amen. I got to put my trust in Him. It's the sincere milk of the Word. But I was saying that I'd like for us to be a friendly church. I'd like for us to be a welcoming church. But I tell you what I want more than anything is for us to be a Bible church. Amen. People come in, you know, we got good cooks. Thank God we do. We got folks that can sing. Thank God we do. We got comfortable chairs. Thank God we do. We got an air conditioner. It runs and keeps it warm or cool down there, hot up here. Amen. Thank God we do. Amen. But if we didn't have any of that, what we need is the Word of God. The Word of God being preached, the Word of God being taught. Amen. And here's the situation. We don't want our milk mingled with the leaven of this world. Right? I don't want somebody to come in here and say, well, now a better translation says it this way. Or the Catholic Bible says it this way. By the way, when they go to any of them others, it's Catholic Bibles. Botanicus and Sinaiticus, they come from Catholic monasteries, trash cans. Right? Amen. And I mean, in all practicality, one of those translations was found in a trash can. But I tell you, everything in the Catholic Church is a trash can. The Catholic Church is a trash can. That's what it is. No truth. And what truth they do has mingled up with a bunch of junk that'll poison you and dilute the truth. Do you won't even know what the truth is. That's exactly right. We want the sincere Word of God. Amen. The Bible talks about doctrines that come from God and doctrines that come from devils. You got to be careful. Not everything called the Bible is the Bible. Not everything called a Christian is a Christian. Not everything called a preacher is a preacher. There's wolves in sheep's clothing, Jesus told us about. And then there's some wolves that don't even bother putting on sheep's clothing. And people still flock to them. Jesus warned us about it. John warned us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. What are you going to try them with? Brother Matt's teaching at Sunday school. You got to know the law. You got to know the Bible. You got to know what the Bible says. I'm telling you, we got to get a hunger and a thirst for the Bible. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and every day. We got to have a personal hunger for the Word of God. But then I believe there ought to be a public hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Coming together on that. So these warnings about the Word of Truth. Here's what the Bible says about that. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know what God said? When they don't line up with this Bible, they're wrong. That's what he's saying. Now, if you've ever been passed a counterfeit bill, you got cheated. If that's ever happened to you, a counterfeit bill or a counterfeit coin, you'll be careful about the next bill that's handed to you. You'll be careful probably about every coin you get from then on to see if it's real or not. And there's folks in here that got past a counterfeit religion before. Yeah. Amen. Right? One thing I found, I believe it's, if a man gets saved out of drunkenness, he'll hate drinking. Yep. If a man gets saved out of easy believism, he'll hate easy believism. Yeah. If a man gets saved out of Catholicism, he'll hate Catholicism. Yeah. Amen. The person gets saved from sin, whatever that sin is, he'll hate that sin. Amen. If you've ever been past a counterfeit, you'll know how important the real thing is. And you'll want to be careful. How are you going to know what's real? Get in the book. Amen. Get in the book. Amen. So this idea here is that we're to be careful. It's got to be sincere milk of the Word. You can't just believe everything you hear on the radio. You can't just believe everything you hear on the YouTube or sermon audio. Or down the road, whatever the case is. Amen. You had to get in the book. Get in the book. Amen. Number five, my last one is the intention of this pursuit. What's it all about? That ye may grow thereby. That's the purpose. That's the point of the message. That's the point of the verse that he's written to us. Amen. The sincere milk of the Word will lead us to growth. Amen. If we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to get in the book. Learn about Him. By the way, it ain't going to help you to read somebody else's book on Jesus. Somebody that died and saw Jesus, they said, wrote a book about it. Somebody that saw a 900-foot Jesus. That ain't going to help you reading about that kind of stuff. You're going to have to get in what the Bible says about Jesus. Amen. What the Bible says about Him, grow in the grace and knowledge. Now, Peter instructs us, listen to get this because it's a little twist on words. Peter instructs us to act like babies so we won't always act like babies. Because nobody wants a baby to be a baby forever. Right. I know Somebody said recently about a little child that didn't want to take his pacifier away from him because then he'd be growing up and they didn't, but you don't want him to be a baby all his life. I mean, ain't it wonderful when they start crawling? Ain't it wonderful when they start, well, I know there's more troubles. I know that you got to chase after them and all that, but you don't have to tote them everywhere. Amen. Isn't it wonderful when they can pick up the spoon and put at least a third of the food in their mouth? Wonderful when they start growing a little bit. That's, the Christians need to grow. Now, why is it we got people being saved 30, 40, 50 years and they're still an infant? I'm telling you why. Because they've never, like an infant, desired the sincere milk of the Word. They've never grown properly because they've never had a hunger and thirst after the Word of God. So Peter instructs us to act like babies, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, so that we won't always act like babies, but we'll grow spiritually, that we can mature by taking in the Word of God. We can learn and we can grow. Amen. Letting the Word of God seep into our heart, to the everything, even the intents of our heart. I believe that's right. Amen. Most likely, those people who have not grown as they should have not had a proper hunger for the Word, or somewhere they've been slipped a counterfeit. Amen. God doesn't want us to always be babies. He wants us to grow up. I've got several verses here, and I'll be concluding in a moment. Hebrews 6:1. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You know what he's saying? I didn't even finish the sentence, but the end of the verse. He said, listen, it's not that we forget the doctrine of Christ, but we got to get beyond the veil. Matter of fact, Brother Hall, you said, we got to get beyond the laver. A lot of people come up to the temple or the tabernacle and they just hang around the laver and they never go inside. They never get behind the veil of the things of God. There's more about Jesus we need to know. There's a deeper life. Amen. Deeper understanding of the things of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over there. We'll read several verses. It's one sentence, I think, if my memory's right. Ephesians chapter 4. And there's other things I could look at, but I'll just look at these. Verse 11. Let me scan over it. Yeah, that's right. It's one verse down through verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What to give them for? For the perfecting of the saints. By the way, you say, I don't need a preacher. Then you ain't going to be perfected like you need to be. I don't need a church. Then you're not going to be perfected like you need to be. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's talking about maturity. Amen. Maturity. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Again, he's talking about maturing. No more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By the way, let me stop just a minute right there. Another, I talked about children being indecisive. Another thing is, it's hard to hold their attention long. Amen. I understand there are mental difficulties that cause people to have lesser focus, not able to get a fine focus on things. I understand that could be some mental issues. Some of it's just immaturity. Much of it is just immaturity. It's just as a child, it's hard for them to focus. And so what he's talking about here is that these deceivers, they got sleight of hand. They got hocus pocus. They got fancy and fabulous things that they're bringing out. Fantastic things. Yeah. Talked about that last night. One of them preachers, Lord help us, I ain't got time to run that whole thing. One of them preachers was dazzling us with his Bible knowledge. Did you know that the number 6 is the number of man? And the 6th book in the New Testament, matter of fact, the 6th book in the Old Testament is the first book named after a man. Well, so? Yeah. Did you know that the 6th book in the New Testament is the first book in the New Testament with the word man in it? Romans. That the 6th chapter of the 6th book, the 6th verse, and the 6th word is man? so. He's dazzling us with his spiritual knowledge about the Bible. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying to my wife, listen, preach me the Bible. Don't preach me some hocus pocus with numbers. You can take numbers and do anything you want to do with numbers. Right. Well, you can say, well, you know, Trump's got to be, I mean, he's got to be God's man. There's five letters. That's grace in his name. So Biden, too. Yeah. Trickery with numbers. That's hocus pocus. That's these deceivers lying in wait and get your attention away from the Word of God. The Word of God. All right. Let me get back to it. What verse was I in? Somebody hit me. Where was I at? 15? 14. All right. Yeah, I finished up with verse 14. By the sight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You look at that one verse, or that one sentence, all those verses, and again, he's talking about going on to perfection. He's talking about being that perfect man, being the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. He's talking about growing up in him. Amen. A lot of people got the idea, well, if I can just get them saved, that's all that matters. No, that ain't all that matters. You hadn't even fulfilled the Great Commission if all you've done is got them saved. He said, you know, reach them with the gospel. Preach to them. Convert them. Baptize them. That's church them, by the way, putting them in the church. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. One of the preachers said, he's talking about the errors he made back in the 80s and 90s. He was in that mega church movement. Bussing and pushing. And by the way, I don't think it's wrong to bust somebody in with the gospel. But we don't bribe them in with hot dogs and hamburgers. Amen. And bicycles give away. All right. But he's talking about getting caught up in that. And here's what we was doing. He said we were winning them and washing them. I'm talking about baptism. And working them. But we weren't teaching them. You've seen people that have babies, but they don't care for them? Something wrong with that. Something unnatural about that. When I say care, I don't just mean have a heart for them. I'm talking about don't tend to them. Don't look after them. Don't take care of them. Don't supply for them. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us. Well, let me just ask some questions in conclusion. Are you growing in the Lord? How about if I ask this? What's better about you now when you're listening to this sermon than was 100 sermons ago? Are they helping you? What are they doing? Well, if they're not helping, I'm going to give you a good reason to probably think they're not helping. It's because you're not latching onto the bottle. You're not getting a hold of the Word of God. Maybe you're not admitting what you are, that you're an infant and you need some help. You think you're already so mature and you got all the answers. No teachable spirit. Are you any better? How about this? Do you want to be better? Do you want to know more about our Lord? Do you want to grow closer to Him? Do you want to be more like Him? I was reading that text in Ephesians 4, and he talks about being that perfect man, and everybody said, well, now that's not talking about sinlessness. When he got to the fullness of Christ, how about Christ? Was Christ sinless? If it's going to be the fullness of Christ, look to me like he's talking about sinning a whole lot less.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, it don't matter. Here's what some people say. I don't care what anybody says about me or what they think about me. I'm gonna do what I want to do. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Amen. Or some woman. Nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. By the way, you can. And you can be a baby the rest of your life if you'll never get hungry for the things of God and the Word of God. I got one more verse. Paul said this in 1 1 Corinthians 13:11. You knew I'd have to get this verse. When I was a child. Right? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you could run a lot of rabbits on that. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I just, again, go back to that. God gave you spiritual life. He's given you word that'll feed you if you'll latch on to it. He's given you opportunity to grow if you'll apply yourself to it and receive it as it is indeed, not the words of men, but the words of God. Amen.